The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the night before Christmas. It is the penultimate, what is it? It's the day before Christmas Eve. By the time most of you see this, it will be Christmas Eve. But fear not, the number one MMA comedy podcast is back with a vengeance, with Mike Harrington over there. How are you, Mike?
I've been better, let's say, Mike.
Why have you been better?
Because I currently have the dreaded coronavirus. Mm.
Oh, my God. Barrington. Christmas cheer. Christmas special. Festive spirit. Reindeers. Elf on the shelf. Christmas trees. Hot chocolates by the fire. This is what we want to talk about. Maybe a little Sapporo. Maybe a little beer. A little bit of festive fucking cheer. The first thing to come out of your mouth is, I might be dying of the coronavirus.
I never said I might be dying. I said I've been better. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
You're bringing the show down right at the beginning. Fucking hell. My God. You know, we try and not.
I'll be taking bets on what day it gets him on my Twitter. So just go there. B. McKay is right.
Well, we try to not talk about coronavirus, of course, because no one wants to hear that. You turn the news on in the morning, it's all you fucking hear about. But go on then. I am kind of intrigued. How are you?
I mean, you know, I'm absolutely fine, which is why I don't think I'm
really
gonna die from it. Yeah, I mean, you know, I had like one bad day. I woke up Tuesday morning. I was just puking my brains out. Spent the whole day on the couch, really, just feeling miserable. And since yesterday, I've been fine.
Have you had a test? I'm assuming.
Yeah. So I was
Omicron. Can they identify the variant?
Not with the thing that I have. I just got one of those like at home tester things.
Yeah.
Because now in New York, the lines are like 2.5-3 hours long to get a test.
Funnily enough, I did one of those at home tests last night. I went out for lunch yesterday and I went Christmas shopping with Lucas to get something for the missus. And when I came back, I know it's not a symptom of coronavirus, but I had the worst stomach ache known to man. I had a blazing headache and it was so bad at one point I was laid face down on the floor. And I just thought to myself, because we got some of those tests, at home tests from CVS, you know what I mean? Got a few of them in there. I said, babe, get me one of them. Just I know they're not the symptoms, but I'm like, just to be on the safe side, I don't want to give it to the entire family. And we were talking, obviously I'm fine now, I'm great. Unlucky Harrington, sorry about that, bud. I'm good, you're fucked, hope you don't die. We were saying, right, and I want to know your side of things, and this is taking it down from the festive cheer and spirit that I wanted, but I was like, could you imagine if it comes back positive in 15 minutes, I'm gonna have to stay in the spare room, I'm gonna have to quarantine in there, you're gonna have to knock on the door and like leave my food at the thing, I'm not gonna be able to come out by the tree on Christmas morning. And the sad news is that is a reality that a lot of people are going through right now, let alone people that are losing loved ones, of course. But so what is your strategy for the Mike Harrington Christmas bonanza?
So, I mean, the plan was my girlfriend and I were going to go down to my folks' place in South Carolina. And, you know, we just got our credits.
Essentially murdering your parents.
Right. So, I mean, thankfully, we caught it, you know, before we got on the plane, which is nice. So, instead, we're going to hunker down here for the next 10 days. We're going to take one outing. We're going to just walk from our house to the car. There's a little Christmas village in Brooklyn where you can drive around and there's like lights outside.
There will be lots of people at the Christmas village. You are a mass murderer, Harrington. You are going around purposely spreading COVID. Oh, my God.
We're going to stay in the car. If we're in the car, there's no other people. The windows are up.
What about that sweet old lady? It's Christmas Eve. She's going out. She's looking for her final little present for her grand gift, little Timmy. Before she dies, this is the last Christmas. Oh, no, no, no. She's got five more Christmases. Let's make the story sadder because you'd say, well, she'd die anyway. And she's walking along. She's cold. It's wet. It's Christmas. And she's like, struggling. You walk out. You're arguing with your girlfriend. You bump into her. You splutter all in her face. Poor old Auntie Carol, dead.
Shame.
That's why I'm not going to argue.
Do you really want that on your conscience?
Oh. No, there's no arguments. There's no nothing. I'm not leaving the car. I think that's totally acceptable. Like, I don't know.
Responsible.
Responsible, right? The responsible thing to do would be to sit here and have absolutely no Christmas cheer and bah humbug for all of
you can make the most out of a bad situation, I guess. Make the best out of a bad situation. So I'm assuming that your significant other, she also has the corona.
It's not confirmed yet, but she is coughing and sounds a lot sicker.
Does she live with you? Do you lie in the same bed? Do you talk to one another in close proximity and perhaps engage in activities that loved ones do?
Well, I've been on the couch for the last, 3 days, but, I did crash in her bed the night before I woke up puking. So I'm pretty sure if I got it, she's got it.
Yeah, probably. All right. Well, listen, I hope you feel better, buddy.
Thank you.
Feel better. So,
a little more festive, what are you planning on doing for?
Well, I wish in some way, I mean, of course I don't. You got to be careful these days, haven't you? Because of course, a lot of people have lost loved ones and things like that. And it's tremendously sad. However, fuck that. We're trying to have a bit of a laugh here. In some ways, I wish I had it because right now I'm running around like a headless chicken, still trying to tie up those loose ends. You know what I mean? Have we got enough for the kids, the spoiled little bastards that they are? Do we have this? Is it enough? Oh, God, what have we got him? Reality is they're spoiled. They've got most things. So we're trying to think of things. So as soon as we finish this, me and Rebecca, yet again, we'll jump out in the car, brave the masses and go and find a few more things. We are heading over to Reptile Island. I've got to keep my voice down. Lucas is lurking.
Because he watches this show.
I don't know if he does. Why do you say that?
Because I've seen him signing in the comments under your name about a year ago. He made me promise not to say anything.
Definitely saw that. And I did not promise not to tell on him.
No. Somebody said, Brian, you can stay on. Somebody said that to me. So I asked him about it and he swore blind.
He tried to blame it on Callum.
Hold on. How are you conversing with my son? I'm more concerned with that about Corona. Do you know what I mean? Are you texting my son late at night?
No, so it was in the YouTube comments of a premiere of an episode of Believe You Me. I popped in to talk to some of the believers and, I saw Mike the Count was like typing away, going crazy on the thing. And, there was a lot of talk about how, he could beat up Callum and all this stuff. And I was like, this sounds weird. This doesn't sound at all like Mike. And he said, it's definitely not Lucas. And I was like, well, that sounds like something Lucas would say.
I know what he said, ratting himself out. That is the mind of a 10-year-old. Definitely not me.
So we went back and forth like that for a while. And then he tried to blame it on Callum. It was a whole to-do. But I will say, Mike, I'm pretty sure, I would just keep it down, the maybe the specifics.
Well, I'm going to go into specifics because I need a little advice here. And I don't know if you guys know, but he's obsessed with animals and whatnot. He wants to be a wildlife vet when he's older. He has a lizard. He has a bearded dragon. He wants a scorpion or a tarantula. So I've called up Reptile Island, this great store by our house. They are both in stock. We're going to head over shortly. But I don't know how I feel about having a scorpion or a tarantula in the house. If there was one of them, I'd pick the scorpion. Mm-hmm. A tarantula, oh my God, no way. Those freak me out.
Well, scorpions are cool because they glow under black lights. But I just feel like this is way too much Australia in your house.
Yeah, bearded dragons are Australia. My wife's Australian. And scorpions are, they come from various parts.
They're definitely there too.
Yeah.
And by definition, all your kids are half Australian. So you're outnumbered like 9 to 1.
100% like. British, motherfucker. No offense to our Aussie population out there. So So let me ask you, if you had to have a scorpion or a tarantula, which one would you have?
I'm definitely going scorpion. Scorpions are cool as hell.
They glow.
But even though I think tarantulas are cringier and they're horrible and they do freak me out, I think I would enjoy watching a tarantula in the tank more than a scorpion. I imagine in terms of interaction, because a tarantula, if you're willing to do it, will crawl on you, you can pick them up, you can handle them.
Not fucking me.
Fucking things in its cage and in its enclosure. You know what I mean? I imagine a scorpion doesn't fucking do much.
Well, I mean, a scorpion has to hunt too. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool to just see it use its like stinger on things.
What does a scorpion use?
It
has the pincers and it has the fucking the zapper at the back, the whiplash. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they eat bugs and stuff.
They do. Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, so that's my day. Other than that, I think we're pretty much done Christmas shopping. What about you guys?
Well, I just went and got my brother $200 in alcohol, and I got my mom a $400 teapot, for fuck's sake.
What?
Why? Oh. Why? Why are they whoa.
Rebecca wants to collect teapots for some reason and saucers.
It's not even a collector. It's not even a collector thing. It's this. Listen, she had this teapot my whole life, right? And it's like a little fucked up now because it's like, I got a plane flying over, sorry. It's a little fucked up now, but she bought it for like $100 when she was like 20. And Williams-Sonoma sells the same one right now, and it's $400.
So why have you got to replace it, though? Did you cause damage?
No, it's just fucked up. Yeah, you know, it's a little fucked up, and she wants a new one. I tried to get her a different one. She was like, no, I need this specific one. And I was like, oh, get fucked. It's full. Get fucked.
Had it for 30 years. I need it for another 30.
Yeah, dude.
Let me ask you this, Brian. Are you a mommy's boy? We've never spoke about this, but that's very sweet of you. Are you? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a brother. I have a brother. He's he works for the government. Correct. And
are you a little mommy's boy? That's what we're trying to get at. Well, you know Harrington is. Harrington goes down to South Carolina all the time, lives with mommy and daddy. Okay, goes down there, asks him for hands out, all that type of stuff. But what about Brian? We haven't had this conversation.
I've had a tumultuous relationship with most people in my life. But these days I am trying to be a better person. So, no, we have a good relationship.
Good. Well, glad. And will you be spending Christmas Day with your mother?
Yeah. And my brother is coming in too.
Nice.
And his new girlfriend. So I get to
meet her. Let me ask you this because I want to know. I mean, you and your disease ridden girlfriend, no offense, but that's an accurate description.
Jesus.
Sorry. You and your
disease. No, it was accurate way before the COVID too. You're fine. Yeah.
Will you be. What kind of festive dish will you be preparing? Or will it be DoorDash? Can you get DoorDash on Christmas Day? And if they do, fuck me, tip them well. If anybody DoorDashes, one, you're a sorry motherfucker on Christmas Day. Secondly, if they do, the person that brings you food, give that person a very healthy tip, please. But what are you doing food-wise then?
Well, I was thinking about doing like, you know how they have like a bunch of catering options, like different restaurants and you know, like even like Boston Market, for instance, like we'll put together like a holiday feast. But instead, my lady's parents are going to bring us over some fresh raviolis and a big thing of sauce and just leave it at the door for us so that we have like a nice Christmas dinner. So,
oh, that's nice. That's nice. Lovely. Lovely. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Yeah, we're still debating what we're going to do. Every year we do the same, which is turkey. Turkey and all the trimmings, because that's an English traditional dinner, but
you guys don't have Thanksgiving
because we don't have Thanksgiving exactly. Yeah, but now for the last 10 years we have had Thanksgiving, but we still do the turkey again at Christmas, and we're like, we are sick of this. So we've got a spatchcock turkey, basically all the bones taken out, and we've got a joint of beef as well. I'm like, let's just do the joint of beef. Callum wants both. I'm like, we're not doing both. Callum has to be 197.
Yeah, he's got a cut.
He's going to cut. He's going to be 197 in a couple of weeks. He's currently walking around 220. I'm like, son, it's going to suck for you. You do not need the beef and the turkey. Do you know what I mean? Make a bloody decision.
Well, that's the issue. Once you get more than one meat, it's officially a feast. And Callum can't be engaging in feasts right now.
No.
Like, it needs to be a nice Christmas dinner.
Low carb, just the meat, the vegetables, off to bed, son. There you go. Go run 4 miles. Anyway, wherever you all are listening to this right now, by the time this comes out, for the most part, it'll be Christmas Eve. Hope you all have a fantastic day on behalf of us at the Believe You Me podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We've had another great year. Of course, Brian and Harrington here every single week. Thank you very much. But of course, we wouldn't be here without you guys. So we truly, truly appreciate you. Now, Harrington. I guess it's an MMA podcast, so we'll talk about some MMA stuff. Go on. What is the burning topics? It's a bit of a slow, festive period right now. Next week on the shows, next week we'll do, you know, the end of year reviews. We'll do the best knockout of the year and all that type of stuff. And we want to do like a vote. Yeah, the BYM, the 2021 BYM Awards last year, a great response. We'll do the same next week, but, and we need to put some polls out on Twitter, Harrington, if you don't mind organizing that. All right, today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. Look, listen, everyone's dealing with something right now. You know, we've all got things going on in the back of our mind, that internal dialogue. You know, I was seeing anger management for a while and it really, really helped me. But if you're dealing with personal loss, some anxiety, some kind of issue in your life, it definitely helps to speak about it. But whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional counseling. Financial aid is also available, and it's easy to get started. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you can communicate with in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line, by the way. It is not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matchups, so it is easy and free to switch counselors if you need. Plus, you can send a message to your counselor at any time, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so it's the perfect way to do therapy during the pandemic, and you won't have to go back to sitting in uncomfortable waiting rooms in the future. So, go to betterhelp.com, BETTERHELP, betterhelp.com/believe to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge over their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. New testimonials are posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp.com/believe. That is Better, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month. Okay, there it is. Where were we? Yeah, no fights really going on now. UFC's done for the year. Next big fight is until the end of January. So it's a bit of a downtime, but there's still always
months off.
Yeah, no, I know. It's great. I'm not going anywhere for a while. But there's always things happening in the world of MMA. And Harrington, as always, you do a good job of pinpointing a few of those topics. What do you have? What do you have?
Well, I mean, I think the one that seems to be taking over all of Twitter, Instagram, any kind of social media is the recent call out. Jake Paul says that he wants Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. He says that, you know, by all accounts, he's made a legitimate offer of $5 million. You know, plus a percentage of the pay-per-view if Jorge Masvidal fights him next. Masvidal responded saying that he doesn't fight for chump change, or the UFC won't let him go for chump change, and that wants $20 million plus pay-per-view before he'll even have that conversation with Dana.
So by all accounts, he's made a legit offer, $5 million plus pay-per-view.
That seems
Yeah, I mean, that's by far going to be the biggest payday of Masvidal's career. But the reality is that he's under contract with somebody else. See, Jake Paul knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? It's like he did that to me. He made an offer to my manager, you know, and we asked for more money, and then he never responded. This is great for him. He just had a fight at the weekend. He never really took any damage, and he scored a great knockout. Fight was terrible. We went over all that stuff. Won't repeat myself. It's Christmas, right? It's Christmas. Do you really think he's that emotionally and excited and invested in his boxing career that the day after, right before Christmas, rather than just enjoy a little bit of time with his girlfriend, with his family and all the rest of it, he's already trying to get his next fight going? If he is, and there's a possibility that he is, then fair fucking play. But how about you just take a week off instead of sending these out? So what I'm getting to is that it may be an honest offer. Only Jake Paul and people close to him will know that. But there's also a possibility that he's just playing that game. You know what I mean? Sending offers out there, knowing that Masvidal cannot legally do that. And if he did, he'd have a huge lawsuit on his hands. Masvidal can't entertain it. And I know Masvidal came back and said, make it 20. That way, other people involved may be more inclined to do so. You know, the UFC and, you know, the parent company and whatnot. Listen, money talks. Money makes things happen. If everyone can get paid, just like with Connor and Floyd Mayweather, there was enough money going around where everyone could say, do you know what? Fuck it. Let's make this happen. You know, maybe 20 mil plus pay-per-view is that number. I don't think it would be. But I think this just could be another troll job of Jake Paul, unless I'm missing something.
I mean, that's the first time, you know, I've heard that as like an explanation, and that makes more sense than anything else. I mean, you remember there's so many, you know, loose threads with Jake Paul, right? Like the bombing Dylan Danis with the water balloons, you know, the just any number of times he's called any number of people out that he has absolutely no intention of fighting. And it's like, that does seem to be a real part of that game plan. Just keep, you know, as many plates spinning as possible. And if this is just another one, I mean, good on him for getting my attention with it.
Yeah, 100%, and we're talking about it, and he does seem to be an expert at doing that. You know, he is a smart man. Why does he keep going after Zuffa or UFC-signed fighters that are under contract, right, that are either right at the tail end of the career? I'm not talking about Masvidal there. I'm talking about the people so far, you know, talking about Nate Diaz and stuff like that. How about you pick someone that's actually a boxer? Why are you trying to take on MMA fighters, eradicate 3/4 of their skill and their ability, and fight them in one field? Do you know what I mean? Which I'm sure there's plenty of fighters on the UFC roster that could beat him in a boxing match. I truly believe that, myself being one of them. But there's many others out there. And Masvidal may also be one of them. But Masvidal would also be a smaller guy. You know, why is he calling out these people that are A, smaller than him, B, aren't boxers, you know, and see that are contractually fucking tied to the UFC? Do you know what I mean? This is clickbait at its motherfucking finest. You have sucked me into the Jake Paul vortex, Harrington, right, for the last time. Fuck, if I could see.
Shame.
Oh. Christmas Eve Shane Bell. I did not want to do this. Christmas Eve Shane Bell. My gosh.
Shame.
Jesus Christ. Nah.
Oh.
I mean, fair play to him. I would love to see it, though. I would love to see Jake Paul versus Masvidal. I'd love to see Nate Diaz versus Masvidal. I'd love to see someone that's in the prime, though. Masvidal's going to be pushing 40 soon. Nate Diaz is no spring chicken. Do you know what I mean? They're all coming to the end of their careers. He's in his, what, mid-20s, 25, 26, something like that?
24, 25, something like that, yeah.
Prime of his fucking life. A young kid. You know what I mean? A big, strong, talented kid with knockout power. Do you know what I mean? I get what he's doing. It's smart for business, because a lot of boxers that have had 4 or 5 fights, other than, say, a Tommy Fury. Thank you, darling. Do you want to come and say Merry Christmas to the believers?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, she's right. She said, I have no makeup on. You're absolutely, that is, you do not want to see that. You don't. Get out, come back. Get out and come back when you're presentable.
Just call me and I'm not just coming in and say, okay, I'm presentable now.
Oh, well, I'll text you in a bit then. Jesus Christ. Anyway, there you go. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
I just, you know, I feel like not many people are bringing up that second half of that point, that like he only calls out welterweights, right? Like there's no cruiser, you know, there's no light heavyweights. There's no cruiserweights. There's no, you know, like, yeah, sure. The boxing thing, it makes sense for a guy with 4 boxing matches ever, you know, somebody who picked up boxing at the tender age of 22, 23, whatever it is, that's still way later than most professional boxers who are going right now. So it does make sense in my mind for him to be fighting, you know, MMA guys who have a boxing background, but boxing is not exactly their number one main focus. You know, that makes sense for me strategically, but fighting people who are 170-pound professional fighters when you're entering the ring at 195 is, that feels insane to me. Like, fight one guy at middleweight or 205, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm bored of this conversation already. Fair and enough. There's a good potential that these people watching now, it's Jake Paul overdose at the moment, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? We say we wouldn't talk about him, but rightly or wrongly, he is hot discussion topic in the world of combat sports right now. But that's it for now, until the next thing comes out. What else have we got? Make it a good one, because we got a lot of questions, and thank you all very much for sending them in. We're going to get to your questions. We're going to do 7 or 8 questions, hopefully some funny ones. Brian assures that there is, so we'll go on some random stuff and make this an interactive show. Remember, if you have questions, send them in to bynpod@gmail.com. Herringbone, what you got?
All right, well, the other probably biggest name in combat sports right now, the other needle mover, Conor McGregor.
Hold on, what are you saying?
I said Conor McGregor, right?
He said needle mover.
Oh, no, yeah, but I thought he said Neemal Duver.
Neemal Duver?
That's the name of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded like I said, the other Neemal Duver. I'm like, what did you say? That's what I was like, excuse me. I heard what you said. I know the expression, but a Neemal Duver sounds like fucking something. I don't know, I might get a Reptile Island. Anyway, go on, carry on.
So let's see here. Charles Oliveira says he welcomes a bout against Conor McGregor in Brazil in May. Here's the quote. Conor challenged me asking a date and tweeted Ireland versus Brazil too. Not only him, but also myself and all the world wants to see that fight. So let's make it happen. I'm waiting for him in May. It may be in welterweight, lightweight, or middleweight with my title on the line or not. Just choose and I'll be ready.
Right. Okay. I'm just looking up Conor McGregor. When, all right, you guys can do this. When was his fight against Oliveira? I think it was July, right? So May, that's less than a year, right? The fight against Poirier where he broke his leg, I think that was July. Where
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, look it up right now.
Yeah, so by May, that's about going to be 10 months. Yeah, July 10th. So come May, that's only been 10 months, you know? I like that. Of course Oliveira wants to say that. You know what I mean? Of course he wants to fight Conor McGregor as the champion. He'll make fucking millions. And especially with Conor coming back from that gruesome injury, from the leg injury, and getting knocked out against Poirier before it. The world, listen, there's a lot of people like to see Conor McGregor fight. He's a very polarizing guy. You either want to see him win or see him lose, and people pay to see that happen. Him coming back after that adversity that he's been through, the storyline there, and I would literally throw up all over the place if he did fucking win the belt, because fucking, oh my God, he's so inspirational, the journey that he went on. But to be fair, if he can come back and win the belt like that, fair play. Do you know what I mean? And I'd like to see that for Charles, because I'd like to see him get that mega, mega payday and make that kind of money. But it's not going to happen in May. There's no way. I just can't see that happening. By the way, I don't know if you saw this quote. See if you can bring it up. Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje said he will literally riot. He said, I will literally riot if Conor McGregor jumps the line. But Justin Gaethje, all I'm saying is get on your steel toe cap boots, get your riot shield and get your truncheon, because you might be fucking storming the Capitol on January 6th. Because guess what? There's a possibility that Conor McGregor could jump the line, because money talks, bullshit runs the marathon. I'll burn it all down, Justin Gaethje. I will riot if Conor McGregor gets a title shot before me.
And then he also said he's going to start throwing dollies, which I really liked.
Yeah, he did say that. He said, I'll throw all the dollies. Hey, get fucking get lifting some weights. Those dollies are heavy. I have one in my garage. I used it to take some stuff out of it. A fucking dolly is very, very heavy. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, it does make sense, obviously, for Oliveira, a man who's made, made that case, you know, a number of times. He does this, you know, like most fighters, for their family to provide them a better life. So, you know, going from, you know, obscurity, you know, like middle of the pack 2 years ago to now being in a position to fight Conor McGregor at the top of the card in Brazil, obviously, who's not going to want to take that, right? Like that is, you know, it's generational wealth for where Oliveira is, coming from. So, yeah, it does seem like a pretty much a no-brainer. But he also did say in that same quote that if the UFC deems it, right, and the McGregor fight can't be made, he is willing to fight Justin Gaethje. So it's not like he's running away from the challenge or the next man up. But, yeah, obviously he wants that payday, and God bless him.
Well, of course, that's why we do it. Yeah, we want to test ourselves, bro. We want to be the best. I want to go up against the best people in the world and test my skills. Great. Great. If you come from a very fucking fortunate background, you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, yeah, you want to test yourself. If you're coming from the fucking slums, the favelas of Brazil, or the mean streets of Clitheroe, not quite the same thing. Not quite. Clitheroe is a lovely small little market town, by the way. I recommend it highly. Lovely castle. But still, you know, most fighters, you want to do it for the payday. So God bless him. I hope he does get it. I really do. For the sake of Charles Oliveira, I hope Justin Gaethje has a reason to riot. I hope Justin Gaethje is throwing dollars all over the place and strapping on his steel toe cap boots. You know, there was a quote in there. I just saw it there as you were talking, Harrington. We forgot about this. Going back to Jake Paul, Sean Strickland had some strong words, didn't he, about that, which I always love to discuss, Sean, because his statements are always so outlandish, you know what I mean, that it's like they're worth discussing.
God, I love Sean Strickland. So he said, Jake Paul is such a fucking coward. You're picking guys who can't box, wrestlers. Jake Paul for $5 million, I'd fight you to the fucking death. I'm not even joking. I'm being 100% serious. I would go to a deserted island with you today and fight you to death for $5 million. Here's the thing, about
you know,
Jake.
I'll double that sentiment. I'll also do that. Jay, you throw me $5 million, I'll fight you anywhere, any rule set, anything, any bob. I could do with 5 mil. I mean, who couldn't? But Sean's right. And I'll tell you what, Sean is about the right size for a Jake Paul. Sean is kind of in his prime. You know, he's not old and washed up. He's a guy on the rise doing big things. He's also under UFC contract, so I doubt that would happen. But Sean Strickland, he's a tough fight for any man. Tough fight.
What? I mean, you know, not to be, you know, too, you know, 4D chess with this, but that seems like somebody that Dana White might be okay with saying, yeah, go fight Jake Paul. Go end this nightmare for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just go shut this kid up once and for all. You get the pass.
Yeah, because here's the thing, all right, and we're just spitballing, and I know I said we wouldn't talk this, but it's a fun discussion. For Dana to do that, for Dana to loan out one of his fighters, essentially, which is what it would be, to go and fight Jake Paul, right? Jake Paul is talking so much shit at Dana White, at the UFC, at the MMA community in large. You want to send over a strong candidate. You want to send over someone that you think is definitely going to get the fucking job done. And no disrespect to Masvidal. Masvidal is a tremendous fighter, and he's game, and he's real, and there's no bullshit, and he's got knockout power, and he's got experience and all that stuff. But he's also getting older. And he also got knocked out in his last fight against Masvidal. Do you see what I'm saying? So, like, I'd be like, yeah, on paper, you would think Masvidal would beat him. I mean, he's far more skilled a boxer, I would say, than Jake Paul, without a shadow of a doubt. And he's more ferocious, and he puts together combinations, and he's got the skill and the speed and all that stuff and the experience. But he got bingoed last time out. And anytime someone gets bingoed, it's not the time to be sending them over there as the face of your organization. You want to see him come back and have two or three in the tank and prove they've still got it. And I'm sure he has still got it. But as I'm saying, him as a candidate would be kind of a risky choice right now because he needs that comeback fight. Sean Strickland, who else would you think? I mean, there's plenty. There's fucking plenty. Send Anderson Silva over there. He's not even with the UFC. He'll take care of it. No problem.
Anderson Silva would beat the brakes off of Jake Paul. Holy shit.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Brian. Well said. Anyway, what else do we have? Okay, it's just going to be a short one today because we have got to buy scorpions. Harrington is probably suffering from what is your temperature these days? Have you checked your temperature? Any kind of fever? What are your symptoms?
Have not had any fever at all. Outside of the bit of vomiting on Tuesday where that was literally all day. That was it. That's the only thing.
Oh, so you were vomiting?
Yeah, that was it. I was just
Did you feel nausea?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't, vomiting. Yeah, I woke up at like 7 or 8 AM and I was like, oh no, no, like my stomach was killing me. And I tried to sleep it off. And by 9, I was like, oh no, I'm puking. I'm definitely sick.
Your stomach was killing. See, that's what I had last night. My stomach was fucking killing. No, it was bad. It was really bad. I kept getting out of bed and walking around clutching my stomach going, oh, my stomach. All right.
Yeah, I was identifying with that when you were saying it, which I was like, yeah, I'm
really? Like, yeah. But, really? Yeah. Well, maybe I do. Maybe that fucking random $5 test from CVS isn't all it's cracked up to be. But I feel good today. All right, what's up, all you auto mechanics and do-it-yourself style guys who work on your own cars? I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part that you need at the best prices. This is truly your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts that you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts. They aren't really sure what you're looking for. They never have quite what you need. And then after all the hassle, they still charge you storefront markups. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything that you need. And whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or you're just working on your own car, everybody has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So, as I say, if you're a car guy, right now, go to rockauto.com. Check out all the parts available. You're going to be blown away when you see what's on there. Literally, anything that you need will be there. But it will be there at an incredible price, which will blow you away. Once more, go to rockauto.com. No promo code needed, as their pricing, as I've told you, it is already that good. But when you order, make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them right here on the Believe You Me podcast. Rockauto.com, cheap car parts. Okay, let's get back into it. Tell me this, Brian in the chat, Cheeto or Joe Rogan experience.
Ooh, this was
I saw the clip. I wasn't sure about this. I don't know if I want to discuss Francis Ngannou's dick size. Okay. Right. Number one, it's disrespectful to the champ. Number two, you know, you could, I don't know. It's just not at the forefront of my discussion ideas. Francis Ngannou's cock. But you want to do it because you put it in the notes. Brian has put in the chat, let's discuss Cheeto and JRE. Who am I? It's the majority rule. You guys want to discuss it? Roll the motherfucking tape.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a long
yeah.
give
As a
you.
Young boy. Yeah. Yeah. His body developed digging sand.
When I saw him on MSC, I was a little drunk already. I was drinking whiskey right after the fight. And I saw him I was like, fucking Francis, bro. And I said, grabbing him, I'm like, you're fucking huge. Hey, like, tell me when to stop. Tell me. And he's like, you're very funny, brother. Like, stop, stop, stop. And I was grabbing him. I'm like, are you fucking real? But I got like 6 shots of whiskey in my head already. He was starting to laugh, but he's a pretty decent guy. He don't fuck around too much. And I was like, Francis, holy shit, dude. I ride so many horses. No one is as hard as you already.
First of all, I can attest that he was drinking a lot of whiskey backstage because I was there at MSG. And then afterwards we were backstage because I was working for BT Sport. Obviously, Cheeto had a big win, looked sensational against Frankie Edgar. And he's there with his wife. I think it's his wife. And, you know, his team. And he's celebrating. He's drinking whiskey. And Sean Shelby's there. And Sean Shelby's also drinking whiskey. But when I say drinking whiskey, I mean drinking a lot of whiskey. Right, they were downing drinks, and I'm like, what's going on? Apparently, Sean and Cheeto had a little bet, you know what I mean? So, Sean had to pay the bet, which was down a couple of whiskeys. Sean's like, hey, I'm a man of my word, I'll down the fucking whiskeys. And Cheeto's like, and I'll do it with you, brother. And they're all fucking downing whiskey, so it's true, he definitely had whiskey because I saw it. They were trying to get me involved. I'm like, no, I've got a show to do, I don't do that, okay? But, yeah, so he was a little drunk. So there you go. What is your point? What do you want to make? Listen, Francis Ngannou is a big man, right? In terms of ratio, if you're a big man, you have larger hands. You have bigger feet. You know what I mean? You'll have bigger features in general. Why is it you are so intent on discussing the penis size of Francis Ngannou, Harrington?
Oh, we already know the penis size of Francis Ngannou. We've all seen the him in dress pants. That's not what this is about. This
him
is about versus, how
him
awesome.
And Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, this is honestly just about how awesome Cheeto Vera is. I just wanted a little bit of celebration for Cheeto, one of my favorite fighters in the UFC right now.
Yeah, no, I know, I'm kidding. He's awesome. Shout out Cheeto. Hope you well, mate. I hope you have a great Christmas with your family. Yeah, Cheeto is awesome. Such a great guy. I hope he gets a title fight soon because he deserves it. Not only, I'm not saying that because I'm friends with him. I'm saying it because I see the work that he puts in and you see the drive and the determination and he has that killer instinct and he's a real fucking fighter. You know what I mean? He's real and he works hard and he's dedicated and he puts the work in. So I hope it happens for him. Unfortunately, it's hard these days. The competition is so fucking stacked compared to, it's almost like I'm drinking beer. compared to, I don't know, let's go back. I was going to say 10 years, but 10 years would be 2011. Let's go back 15, 20 years ago. You know, the level of competition was much lower. The roster of the UFC was a fraction of what it is now. I don't know it is. It's probably over 600 fighters now, maybe 700, maybe close to 1,000. I know a few years ago it was 500. That's what Dana used to say. As I say, that was a few years ago. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah. 724 active fighters.
724 active fighters. Okay. To get that title shot these days is so much fucking harder. Whereas back in the day, you could have 2 wins, boom, all of a sudden you're fighting for the belt. You know what I mean? Good luck, Cheeto. What else we got, Harry Bone, before we get to these questions?
All right, let's see here. All right, Triad Combat. You remember the triangle ring thing?
Please, for the love of God.
All right, forget it.
No. What is it? Hold on. Someone's fighting Kubrat. Who is it?
Kubrat is fighting Junior Dos Santos.
Junior Dos Santos. We saw what Kubrat Pulev did to Frank Mir. Junior Dos Santos is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He was a tremendous champion. He was a great fighter. He provided us with hours and hours of entertainment, some legendary fights. But he was a little chinny towards the end of his UFC run, right? If I remember correctly, he was getting knocked out a bit. Fair play. That was against Rozenstruik and Ngannou and big hitters. Are you looking at his record?
Yeah, I'm looking.
How did it end for him? Just remind me.
Yeah, so it was – oh, geez, Louise. There was a knockout at the hands of Francis Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes, Jarzinho Rozenstruik, and Ciryl Gane. Back-to-back.
Whoa, four knockouts in a row.
Yeah.
And if you follow, I don't know if you follow Dos Santos on social media, do you?
No, I mean, I've seen like the AEW stuff he's been doing, but that's about
yeah.
it.
No, he's quite the character on social media. I don't know what it means because it's all in Portuguese. Obviously, he's Brazilian, but him and his wife are always doing these like TikTok style videos. If you look at them, I don't know what any of it means because it's all in Portuguese and even the writing's in Portuguese. I guess it's because they're fucking Brazilian. They're not thinking of the entire non-Portuguese speaking market. How dare they? But they're always doing these little videos and like, they're putting on like a little show and stuff. It looks fun. I still find myself chuckling, even though I don't understand the word of what they're saying. It's quite the showman. The point what I'm making, he's a nice guy. And I wish him all the best, and I hope he makes some money. But I don't know against Kubra. Fuck me. You see what he did to Frank Mir? And he was a great, fantastic boxer. I hope they're paying him handsomely.
He literally made him look like the finish him moment in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. No, he did. Finish him because he was there.
He was just wobbling around. Yeah, it was
on
crazy
his feet.
To see. Yeah.
By the way, you got a lot of shit for that in the comments, Harrington.
What's that?
Because you said in that there was a lot of flack for the referee for stopping it. Flack for the referee was for not stopping it sooner.
Right, he stopped it too late. Yeah, I misunderstood that. That was on me. I know. I read every comment. Mike, if you read those comments,
there's
you'll
a bus.
Also see my
I'm about to throw you under it. Sorry about that. I apologize.
That's fine. Like I said, 9 times out of 10, I will personally go in and apologize to those people when they do call me out of my nonsense.
No, so hey. There's absolutely no need to apologize. No, I wasn't saying that. You know, we're having a laugh here. We're having fun. We're talking about stuff. Hopefully people enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? If you get something wrong, no need to apologize. I get things wrong. I know what you're thinking. No, that's bullshit. It has been known to happen on occasion. Sometimes, you get it wrong. But you do it a lot. So, yeah. A fucking apologize. All right, one more story, then we'll do some questions.
Okay, well, one thing a lot of people might have gotten wrong, especially John Jones, was on the Chael Sonnen incident. So it seems, right, according to multiple sources, you know, Chael Sonnen talked to Shab, he talked to, I believe, John McCarthy. The story is some guy, like, was being very disrespectful to Chael's wife, and Chael was simply defending his wife's honor. You know, and that, you know, went down. So Dan, the Hangman Hooker, if you want to pull this up, kind of broke down the whole thing in one of the most beautiful ways I've ever seen.
Chael Sonnen's misdemeanor citations. He was protecting his wife, unlike John Jones. Dan Hangman Hooker comes back. Imagine beating up 5 people and not one of them is your wife. John Jones right now. I mean, I suspected this. You know what I mean? As I said the other day, his wife's an attractive lady, you know, and there's a lot of bozos around. There's a lot of idiots, certainly in Vegas. You know what I mean? People go out there. They have too much to drink. They act like idiots. If there's 5 of them, you get mob mentality. It's 5 guys together. They all fucking grow in confidence, even if they probably had no idea who Chael Sonnen was. But Chael's sober. He's going into his bedroom with his fucking wife, the mother of his children, for crying out loud, and they start talking shit. Now, for me personally, I don't – if someone said – even a lewd remark to Rebecca, I don't think I'd react. It depends on how far they pushed it. You know what I mean? If one of them just went, if one of them, you know, expressed their viewing pleasure, shall we say?
Right.
All right, great. I'd take it as a compliment. I guess there is a line that where certainly touching, certainly getting overly sexual, you'd be like, hey, motherfucker, leave it there. You know what I mean? But then I guess, and that's how it happens. And then they say something, then they start posturing, and then people start peacocking, puffing their chests out. Next minute, you're getting led down the hallway by the cops in handcuffs. You know what I mean? But it doesn't surprise me that that's what went down, and because that's the Chael Sonnen that I know.
So what is your line, right? Like somebody's walking by and they're like, hi,
Rebecca!
Nice eyes.
Come here. We want to discuss this with you. I'm going to have to unplug my headphones because one of my headphones ears are broke, Brian. So I apologize.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued. I want to hear her answers on this.
So, all right, Chamonix. Say hi to Brian and Harrington.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Harrington.
Hi, Rebecca. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
But we're getting a scorpion and a. Oh, right. Sorry. Anyway, we are discussing Chael Sonnen.
Okay.
Chael Sonnen was walking down. Give the story, Harrington.
So Chael Sonnen was walking to his room in his hotel, and a couple guys started making very lewd comments at Chael's wife. So Chael felt the need to defend her honor and beat up five guys before getting taken out in handcuffs.
So right. What I want to ask you is, because
yes.
I said, well, you know what?
You said that exact scenario.
I did. I'm a genius. Mm-hmm. But I said, I would... You know, if somebody said something like that to you, mm-hmm. if they went, oh, wow, you know, I don't know, or whatever, or something shit like that, I'd take that as a compliment, yeah. and I'd just ignore it. The question I'm going to ask you is at what point, right, what type of comment would you expect me to step in and be like, yo, you don't speak to my wife like that?
If they were being overly inappropriate, like commenting on physical attributes, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, even in your presence, right?
Right. Yeah, but
because it's just a show of appreciation.
Yeah, but what if it's a nice ass?
Personally, I wouldn't care.
Nice tits.
I don't care.
Yeah, I'd let that slide as well. I'd be like, whatever, because it's an immature comment. However, what about if they said something like what they said? Who was it who said they would do something to John Fury said about? What did he say?
I'll bend your bird over and do her like a dog.
I mean,
that was fighting.
It doesn't offend me personally, but I feel like that would offend you if someone said that about me.
But
because obviously.
But all right. I'm not going to do but that. What we're trying to extrapolate here, but what would be the point where if I was just like, you know, in a zen mood and I'm walking down the street and I'm just ignoring them, whatever. Oh, I'm so mature these days. And then we get in the hotel room and you're like, what the fuck? Nothing? You aren't going to say anything? At what point would that be?
I don't know. I don't need you to defend my honor. Honestly, I don't. It's not a big deal to me. They could say anything. It doesn't matter.
You're not giving the podcast listeners what we want.
Know,
we need some scandalous info.
What would be scandalous?
Have I ever done anything like that the whole time we've been together? I haven't, have I?
Well, you're trying to make it sound like no one likes me.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to make it sound like I'm so calm, collected, and put together.
No, because I just feel like...
No, I don't get like that, do I?
No, I just feel like you would take it as a compliment that
I do
think that about me and that you are the one that gets to have me.
But we don't know what they said. And we did to Chael Sonnen. Like, if they grabbed your ass, that'd be a different thing.
I don't see that they would do that if she was there present with Chael. I don't think they're going to physically touch her. And then if they did, then that would be, yeah, I get, okay. I guess if someone physically touched me.
Harrington has a point. What were you going to say?
Look, I mean, it's mob mentality, right? So it's like one guy says something, another guy says something, they see how far they can push it. And the last guy in the line is like, oh, I'm going to up the ante and tries to, you know, goose her or something. And at that point.
Oh, hold on, goose by goose, you mean sexually penetrate?
No, I mean, you know, just like grab her butt.
No, goose her, like where I'm from, goose, if they were goosing, that means something very
I've
different.
I've never heard that.
Goosing?
Yeah.
Brian,
have you ever heard goosing?
It's probably an old man.
Yeah, it's like when somebody jams their thumb up your ass.
Hey, whatever goes on in your house at Christmas, you keep to yourself.
No, like when somebody walks up behind you and like fucking jabs you in the ass and you're like, what the fuck? And then you want to start punching people in the face. You know, it's like
okay, well, at that point, if I got goosed, Michael, you have my permission.
If anyone ever
goes crazy,
I'm the only one that's going to fucking goose you around there, okay? Certainly not Harrington, okay? All right, babe. Do you want to say Merry Christmas to all the believers?
Merry Christmas, believers.
You want to say to Harrington and Brian?
Harrington and Brian, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a really nice day. What have you guys got planned? I want to hear all about it.
Harrington has COVID. Leave that. Let Brian speak. Brian just came on.
I'm just going. My family's hanging out, so that's what's happening here. My aunt's coming in from Canada, and my brother's coming up from Virginia. So we're all just going to hang out and have Christmas. Yeah.
No, that sounds lovely, Brian. We hope you have a great one. Yeah, Harrington has COVID.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
Guess what it started with? Is that goosing you? Am I goosing you?
I mean, yeah.
No, not yet.
If they did that, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, bud?
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you physically...
That's just groping, right?
No, it's groping, yeah.
What are you talking about? That's not skin.
No, it's not. There's like some slimy...
I've some moisturizer on.
Anyway. what were we saying? Guess what Harrington's symptoms started out with?
I'm going to say nausea.
Severe muscle cramps, stomach cramps, and nausea.
Yeah, you had that last night.
I did have that last night.
Very dramatic about it, FYI. Super dramatic. There was a lot of moaning and groaning.
I thought I was dying.
All men are. All men are super overdramatic when we get sick because we're used to being strong and tough and all this other stuff. And as soon as we feel a chink in the armor, we become...
No. See, the thing is with me, I have to exemplify that I am definitely ill because a lot of the time I may be hungover. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm not well.
And then
I'm fine. I know I'm not sick, but I'll allow her to think that I may be sick because it's self-inflicted. Whereas when I know I'm not sick, I know I'm definitely sick because I didn't drink the night before. Now I'm sick. I'm like, okay, now I need to let her know. This is proper now. You know those other ones where I pretend I'm sick? They're bullshit. But now this is real. Get me a COVID test.
I think you moaned more last night than I did giving birth to three children.
That is a lie.
It's true. It was dramatic.
It was bad.
It was very dramatic.
Bad.
And then it just passed like that. I mean, that's a bit odd.
I passed out, went to sleep.
You pass out.
Get out of here, woman. Nobody wants to get out.
Pass out.
No one. All right. Well, thank you, darling, for that great insight. We love you, babe. Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah, there it is. Anyway, what were we talking about? Yes, yeah, so Chael Sonnen. Thanks, babe. Okay, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. You know the deal. Giving you a little, an extra va-va-voom, a little extra bump, you know, a little extra performance. It's an enhancer. It is not a performance-enhancing drug, although it will enhance your performance. It is, of course, a chewable form of Viagra and Cialis, but it is at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction, and it's just an online prescription service. So not going to the doctor, telling him, you know, about your shortcomings. No standing in, you know, the pharmacist waiting to pick it up and they look at you and it's a really hot chick. She looks at you and she's like, oh, yeah, I gathered. You don't look like you could put in a solid day shift. None of that. It's all eradicated. It's done online. Harrington, listen, I know you got COVID right now, but is Blue Chew still going to be a big part of your festive celebrations?
Well, I mean, I am officially locked down with my significant other for the next 10 days. So, yeah, certainly. I mean, especially if COVID is ravaging any other part of my body, I'm certain that BlueChew.com will be able to fight the effects and keep me going, you know, strong through the holiday season. So thank you very much, BlueChew.com.
We just want to point out that Blue Chew is not a an actual medication that you want to use for COVID. Which is Blue Chew not to be used in terms of COVID prevention. But still, there you go. Listen, it is performance enhancement for the bedroom. It's the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. It is cheaper. It comes straight to your door. No messing around for when you want to be messing around. And listen, believe you me, podcast listeners, you get a great deal. Try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code BELIEVE at checkout. Just go to bluechew.com. The code is BELIEVE. You get your first month for free. You just got to pay $5 shipping. Tremendous offer. Give it a try. You're going to love this. Everybody loves it. It's a great product. You know, if you want to enhance your bedroom experience, bluechew.com, code is BELIEVE for your first month for free. Okay, where were we? All right, 45 minutes. Let's bang a few questions out because we've got a few. Thank you very much. Thank you for the support of our show. I know for a while there, at one point this year, everyone thought the show was going away, but we're not. We're sticking around. We're here in 2022, 23 and onwards. Harrington, Brian, questions. Do you want to do plugs real quick, Brian?
Oh, sure.
Harrington, sorry.
If you are listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave a review, you know, 5 stars, positive review. We really appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, click the subscribe button and hit that notification bell so you find out whenever new episodes are dropping. And if you enjoy this and you want to check over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head over to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM30 to get 30 days free of Gas Digital Network. Get every show you've ever recorded as well as 24 other great shows on the network. And if you're looking for last-minute Christmas gifts, BYMmerch.com is the place to get all your merch for the show.
Yes, it is. All right, Brian, what do we have? We have a litany of questions, and thank you to everybody that sent them in. bympod@gmail.com is where you want to send them. Brian, yeah, let's go.
We got a bunch of stuff in, and this guy Backwood Brad has sent in this a song that he made for the show. So ooh. I just cut a little bit of the hook, and if you want to hear the rest of the song, it'll be in the Believe You Me bonus section.
Thank you, Backwards Brad. Boy, Brad. I can beat 2-1 like a straight jab. Best podcast, got a big man. Got a big man. Big man. Big man. Got a big man. Big man. Big man. Big man. Big man. This right here like breaking news. Mike broke noses and paid dues. Hit the Hall of Fame like Babe Ruth. You remain proof, but the great truth, you get Harrington paid and Brian too. And the fans love him, well I love him, and so do you. And so do you. And my best to Luke. Yo, better get it right. It's the count counting like his head accountant. Y'all the real reason every route is Josh and Big John. It's a bunch of shouting. It's good.
I like don't hate it.
He's got a flow. He's got a bar. Can you rap, Harrington? Give me a rap on the spot. Brian, can you rap?
Harrington can't even wrap his hands. Oh. No. I don't do that.
You got no flow?
I got no groove, bro.
I may have done a little bit of MCing back in the day when I was a fucking kid at nightclubs. No way. Never again. You're never going to hear it. What else have we got? That was Backwoods Brad, right, Brian?
That was Backwood Brad.
Backwood Brad. Thank you. That was awesome. I want to hear the whole thing. Where can we hear the whole thing, Brian?
It'll be in the, if you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com and use promo code BYM30 until the end of the month, you can go to our bonus section. And there's a little tab when you go to the Believe You Me page. It says bonus on the top. You go to the bonus section and it'll be there.
Do me a favor. Forward me the email with that rap on though.
I'll send you the whole track. Yeah.
I appreciate you, Brad, backwards as you may be. I'd like to next year go by forwards, Brad. Okay. You know, Brad, listen, you can do this. Put that life in reverse. Go that's forward. It, dude. Stop going backwards your whole life. You can do this. You can make something of yourself.
It's not backwards. It's backwoods, like the cigars you smoke weed at.
Oh, backwood. Backwood. Yes. Okay. I prefer backwards. Backwards Brad. That was better. For a rapper, or but backwoods sounds more gangster.
But he'd have to rap backwards the whole time. That could get difficult.
Let's take a look in slow motion. in action replay. What else we got?
All right. So I got another question here. And I'm sorry for the audio only listeners. I may have to cut this out for them because it's a little hard to listen to. But there's captions for the YouTube audience, and I'll pull this guy's name up in just a second.
Oh shit. And who's that from, Brian? Because I want to give him a shout out.
His name is Scott Telford.
Well, Scott Telford has a striking resemblance to one Pierce Brosnan that's been on like a 28-day bender. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on down in that chamber for 28 days, but Pierce Brosnan's fucking looking a little haggard. But thank you, Brad. I hope you're well down there. For the audio-only listeners, where is he? He's in a saturation tank for 28 days?
Yeah, he's a deep-sea diver, just like we had Brian on the last episode.
Like our friend the True Geordie. So he's down there for 28 days, locked into a confined space. He said, if we had to choose two fighters from the current UFC roster, who would it be? To spend
past or present.
Past or present.
Past or present from the UFC roster. Okay, well, who's the best looking females on the UFC roster?
Has to be guys. Trust me, that's where my head went.
Can it be from MMA? Can we get Valerie Laredo in here? Can we do you know what I mean? Can we get some of those people down here? Lock me up, throw away the key. No, I'm joking. Let me see. Who would you pick? to spend 28 days with.
So, all right. I mean, it's the fact that it's underwater. My initial thought was Sean O'Malley and Nate Diaz. We would just smoke weed, but we can't do that underwater. So, huh.
I do not want to be locked up with Nate Diaz for 28 days.
No?
In any way.
I feel like he gets cranky.
Pardon me?
I feel like he gets cranky.
Yeah, he get cranky. Who's upbeat? Brian, stay on.
Chael.
You know what? Chael's very quiet. You know, like he's outspoken and he's got great opinions. He's got hot takes. When you're with Chael and he's not on, so quote unquote, he's very quiet. Some may say boring. Some may say not the type of guy to beat up five dudes unless it was a real good fucking reason. No, he is though. He's a very, that's what I mean. He's a very put together guy and he's not making a fool out of himself. So Chael, whilst I have a ton of respect for him and I like the guy, would not be one of them.
Okay.
Chito Vera. Maybe one of them. Chito Vera. Who else has got another great personality? Do you know what? I hate to say it. Oh, no.
One of the Samoan guys, like Justin Taffa.
Well, you know, tied to a Vasa would be good if we had tons of booze. You know what I mean? He'd be a good laugh, but he'd probably open the tank and, you know, hammered out of his mind and we'd all drown.
It's open on the bottom. You just dive out of it, from what I understand.
Luke Rockhold, anybody?
You know who I was going to say? You know who I think would be a blast and who would actually feel super comfortable in there and would probably be real good at like leading the expedition? Donald Cowboy Cerrone.
Fair enough.
Yep. He's a bit of a deep sea diver. All right, two that we wouldn't like. And that's a great question, by my way, to my friend down there at the bottom of the ocean.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I was going to say Brock is just too big to be spending any kind of time in confined spaces with. That's crazy.
Too big, too angry.
No one's saying Brendan Schaub. No one's throwing a Schaub out there.
Aw.
Schaub might be a good time to hang out with.
Schaub would be great to have, by the way. I'm kidding. The guy gets a lot of shit for no reason. You know what
by
I mean?
By the way, I told you you weren't
hey,
alone.
Hey, Brian, my guy. Cheers, brother. All the best, my friend. Harrington, you're not going to have a Christmas beer even though you don't drink?
No, I'm good. I do have my. I'm not gonna do this on YouTube. Forget
the Christmas bonk.
Yeah, don't do that.
You got us demonetized. Yeah,
not gonna do that on YouTube.
He's like, okay, I got some DMT here. I could just trip out on camera for everybody.
He said he was having mushrooms earlier as well. Have you had mushrooms?
I was thinking about it, but again, we're not talking about this on YouTube.
Fair enough. We're not. I'm talking about mushrooms that you have with eggs and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Omelets.
Mushroom
omelet. Two guys you wouldn't want to be locked up with.
Crazy Horse Bennett.
I mean, I spent 5 minutes in the company of that guy and I legit wanted to strangle him. He was never on the UFC roster though. Vanderlei Silva, fuck that guy.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Tim Kennedy. There you go. Vanderlei Silva and Tim Kennedy.
I'm still saying Brock Lesnar, dude. I would not want to be locked up with him for 28 days. If you get on his nerves, he'll just eat you.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. It's 28 days, you're down there, you're getting hungry, you're getting bored, you're getting pissed off, and you're with a gigantic man that is literally, a modern-day version of Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
An axe or a sword tattooed on his chest. He's very aggressive. He has wild temper tantrums, and you're locked up with him for 28 days.
And there is
Neither of us would make it out alive.
Nobody would.
Yeah.
And there's heavy gear down there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, of course.
You need an axe.
The guy asking the question is sniffing it because he sounds like he's on helium.
Well, yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. You'd laugh at Brock Lesnar so much in 28 days if he sounded like that. He would for sure kill you.
What are you laughing at, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like that's brilliant.
This is a funny. I'll kill you.
What else we got, Bri?
So I got a question here from a regular question. Submitter Kiki.
Do you love me?
Hey, Bisbing, Harrington, and Brian. This is Kiki with another video question. So I was listening to one of my other podcasts, and they were talking about Bisbing's commentating. And I was wondering, Bisbing, what do you think are your best attributes as a commentator and your worst attribute as a commentator? I think you've really grown into the role. I really enjoy listening to you every card that you're on. But I'm curious, what do you think you could improve on and what do you think is one of your strengths? Thanks, guys. Hope you guys have great holidays. Bye.
Thank you, Kiki. Oh, she's lovely. She's lovely. Hope you have a great one too, Kiki, with you and your loved ones. All the best from all of us. I hate answering these questions, but thank you for sending them in. I'll talk about myself. But I think one of my best attributes as a commentator is that I've been there. You know what I mean? I can speak to what they're actually going through, what they're thinking right now, what they're feeling. You know, not a lot of people can. Of course, with the UFC commentators these days, that's what they're trying to have. All former fighters that have a flair for that kind of thing. And that's why, number one, because the people watching can resonate with that guy because they're like, oh, no, we watched this guy for years. We know who he is, as opposed to someone coming in that they don't know. And B, because we've been there. And they know that what we're speaking about is true. We've been there. We felt it. So that would be one of the best things. I also feel I have a good way of lightening the mood sometimes and being a little bit, not comical because it's not a comedy show, but, you know, a good sense of humor, but the ability to be serious when the time needs it and things I could improve on. I think sometimes I get a little too excited and speak a bit too fast. That would be one of them. You tell me, Harrington. What am I shit at?
I'm not going to tell you what you can improve. There's no way. I couldn't tell you.
Do it.
I can't. I can barely speak into a microphone in my own home. No, I'm not telling you what you're doing wrong on a UFC broadcast. I personally don't see any issues with it. What I do enjoy about your commentary that you haven't mentioned yet is like you typically – like there's a Tony Romo quality about your commentary where it's like you – tell exactly what this person needs to do to like change the outcome of this fight or like what needs to happen for this outcome to be in this person's face. And like, you know, those things inevitably start happening. I always go back to, I believe it was Tisha Torres, Tatiana Suarez versus Tisha Torres when she, you know, you were like, look, she wants to turn this fight around. She's got to get her up against Cage, bully her down and start. And immediately that second round opens up and it's like you were in her corner giving her that advice. She immediately took that game plan and won that fight. So you are pretty good at that.
Well, thank you, sir. And I appreciate that. Brian, you were going to say something, but it's funny because a lot of people say that I need to be quiet because I'm coaching the fighters. I'm not coaching. I had an argument with someone recently on Twitter. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not coaching the fucking fighters. You think over anyone that's coaching them, you think maybe the four actual coaches that they have, maybe they'll listen to the four. If you're in the main event, you get four coaches, but there's one guy down there not talking as loud, not shouting out, not screaming, not paid to be in your corner. He's giving advice also. I'm talking about what I see, what I need to do. I'm certainly not cornering them. They have four people paid to do that job. Yes, Brian.
I popped on before because of an audio thing, but it sorted itself out. But I am
going to come on and say how great I was, Brian, for fuck's sake.
But I am going to say I do enjoy the fact that you are the neutral corner person for every fighter.
I think I do call it how I see it. You know, sometimes, you know, and I'm not the only one that does that, but you know, a lot of commentators sometimes are afraid to criticize what they're seeing. Sometimes if it's not good, you got to see, you know, you can't try and spin it to the public that what they're seeing is great. Do you know what I mean? When they're sitting at home, do you know what I mean? Oh, you guys don't understand what they're doing right now. This is really hard. Yes, it's also really boring. Do you know what I mean? You got to fight at some point. I understand there's tactics and there's strategy. And you can't throw caution to the wind, and there's high consequences in everything that you do. But also there comes a time where you got to say, well, this is what we signed up for. We did sign a contract to fight in a cage. We did sign a contract that has a clause in there that there is a possibility of death. Do you know what I mean? We do sign, this is what we sign up for, and that's what the UFC pays very handsomely for.
Does so it come at some as point, a scroll that they put on the back wall?
Like I can't remember, but I'm sure there is a clause in there, something to do with death. Of course, you know, like anything like that, you know what I mean? Obviously, hopefully, you're not going to die, but you can die crossing the street. Anyway, Brian, what else?
We have a question here from a Mr. Hold on, what's his name? Casey Rosev? I'm bad.
Casey
Rosevere.
Another question. And today I was wondering, with Chael Sonnen getting detained after beating up a couple guys, I was curious, how often do people try to provoke you, knowing that you're a pro fighter since you've been a pro fighter? And have you ever been in a street fight yourself since being a pro fighter, not counting the Bourbon Street bitch. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. People don't really try and, well, people try and push my buttons, but I don't think they're trying to push my buttons in terms to get me to fight them. I think, excuse me, there has been a few occasions over the years where people have found out that I'm a fighter and that, again, they're trying to test themselves. Like when I was in Manchester one night, a bunch of guys, you know, they were like, they were gang members and whatnot, and it could have fucking ended badly. And then I left, and then they actually smashed the place to bits, and some of the barmaids and stuff actually got glassed and stuff, and the place closed down. No, that was because the owner of the bar said, you need to leave. I said, no, I don't need to leave. They need to leave. He said, you need to leave, Mike. Thank you, darling. He said, yeah, no, you need to leave. And then they took me out through the fire exit. I was like, what's going on? I said, I'm not going nowhere. And they were like, we strongly advise that you be the one to leave, because trust me, this is not going to end well. So they put me out the fire exit. And then when they found out that that had happened, they smashed the place up. And as I say, some people got really, really hurt. Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. What was the other part of the question about?
Have you been in a street fight since you became a pro fighter?
I think only one. It's not a street fight. I think I've told this story. It was years ago. I was in London. I went to a nightclub. I was with a couple of other, shall we remain nameless, UFC fighters, and we were drinking. We had a table, and then you know, we were having some, you know, bottles and stuff like that, as you do. And then the bill came, and there was like a 40% service charge on there, which equated, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, whoa, what's this? 40%. We're in England, first of all, where you know, you want to tip for good service, but it's not a mandatory rule. And you probably, right. It was either 35 or 40%. It was crazy.
But it was like a gratuity, essentially.
Yeah, that's all it was. And like, you know, we don't have the tipping culture in the UK. It's a little different. You know what I mean? But I like to tip anyway. I always tip. You know, good service, I like to reward. You know, certainly out here in the States, I always give away over 20%. On this occasion in the UK, that's not part of the culture, but you know, you expect that in a nice place. But 35-40%, I forget what it was. It was a few years ago. And then this is a lovely story to end the Christmas special on. So I was like, yo, what the fuck is this? I said, no way. I said, give me my bill and then I'll decide what the tip is, you know. And then some doorman came over and they were getting like a little threatening. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I said, give me the bill and I'll stick my discretionary tip on, you know what I mean? I said, but I'm not being forced to pay this crazy amount of money. And they went, okay, can you come and have a word with us? And I thought, all right, yeah, fair enough. And I thought I was going to go have a word with the manager and we were going to have a nice civil conversation. They take me into this storeroom, they shut a door. There's like four doormen, all Eastern European, right? And I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? This is not what I thought this was going to be. It was like, step into my office. Why? Because we're about to kick the fuck out of you. So anyway, so I tried to, you know, four big dudes like Russian and Polish and whatnot. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I didn't like where this was going. Do you know what I mean? So I tried to make a run for the door. And as I grabbed the door, poof, they put the foot in front of it to stop me going out the door. And then one of them grabbed me and fucking pinned me up against the wall. So I fucking threw him off me. I said, fucking do that again. There's going to be an issue. And I went to grab the door again and he grabbed me by the throat and did that. So I just went, boom, instinctual, right hook. Not bragging, and it's a true story. Ask Dean Amasinghe, works for the UFC PI in Shanghai and former Ultimate Fighter contestant. He was there. Boom, I right. He was in the office as well. He was there with me. I right hooked him. He fell down on the floor unconscious, right? So people say I have no punchy power. There's an Eastern European bouncer in London that begs to differ, as well as Luke Rockhold. But this is, you know, like me, a great story for me, because then everyone jumped on me. And I remember I was on the floor with three dudes just kicking the shit out of me, stomping on my head and kicking me. And I'm on the floor. I'm like, help me, Dean. Help me, Dean. And Dean's like, what do you want me to do? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, what the fuck, motherfucker? The three guys stamping on my head. So
yeah, I took out one by myself. Dean, you get one. Now it's yes, 2-on-2.
We could do this. We can take these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? But yeah, that was it. I honestly do believe. And it wasn't even a street fight as such. It was some fucking angry doorman, you know, assaulting me. And I'm leaving certain bits out. we got revenge. Let's just leave it at that. We got taken care of. But
Mike, just how naive are you, by the way, where two doormen come by in the first place and they say, all right, let's go have a word in the back room. And you're like, oh, the manager's going to be there. This is going to be nice. It's like,
I thought, because I was like, can we speak to the manager then? Let's talk to the fucking manager because this is bullshit. Do you know
they were
I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah, like, we're going to talk to the manager right now. Let's go.
Yeah, and I went in, and then I was like, whoa, 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 this does not look like the manager's office. You know what I mean? Because I was like being a bit argy-bargy, a little bit confrontational. I'm like, a little bit fuck you. Do you know what I mean? And they were like, okay, you want to say fuck me? No, fuck you, brother. Come with me. We talked to manager in my storeroom. Let's go, let's go. So, yeah, that was the last time. Anyway, we'll do one more. We'll do one more for fun, for shits and giggles.
All right, so I got one here from Doug LaDanza.
Good old Doug.
What up, Doug?
Hey, Biz.
What's up, Doug?
The show. I'm sure I have a quick question regarding fighters who train at multiple gyms, such as Garbrandt, who trains with Alpha Male and also Henry Hooft, and such as GSP, who trained with Firas Ahabi and Jack Swink in the past. My question is, when these fighters are coming up for a fight, do they sit down with the coaches and all come up with a game plan together? Does one of the coaches take a lead, sort of? How does that all work out? My other question is for Harrington. Why are you the way that you are? All right, guys, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with that. Harrington, why are you the way that you are? And when is it the way that you are? We don't mean riddled with sickness. And I'll say this. 2021 has been a year of growth for Mike Harrington. I mean, look at this. Look at the lighting. You have things on the wall. You have a place to live. You have a couch. Are you paying bills? Are you a functioning member of society these days? It seems like the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, dude, I'm a total square now. Like, I'm following all the rules.
He's a whole human these days. It's pretty crazy.
why are you the way that you are?
I don't know, man. My mom just didn't cook me long enough or something. I don't know, man. It is what it is.
Well, we like the way that you are, Harrison. So continue to be so, please, for the most
Thank
part.
You, sir.
For the most things.
For the most part.
For the most part. You know, there's some outtakes on this show where I've seen Brian screaming at Harrington.
I've never not once done that.
Oh, that's a lie. What was the question? Oh, cross-training with different gyms. You know what, to be honest, and thank you for the question, kind of difficult one to answer because unless you're – obviously, those kind of scenarios, if you're training with one gym but you go train with another, then you're going to corner together. You know, there's going to be that kind of – an amalgamation of two teams or two coaches and all the rest of it. Each of those situations would have a unique circumstance. You know what I mean? There's no hard and fast rule. There's no written in the stars. This is how that works. One would assume, let's say Cody Garbrandt trains at Team Alpha Male, also training with Henry Hooft. Yeah, there'd be some kind of agreement beforehand in place. And maybe he'd have Uriah Faber. You know, let's say he's not main event, so he's got three cornermen. He'd have Uriah Faber, maybe one other guy from Team Alpha Male. And Henry Hooft's come in as well because he's been there. He's helped him. I think so. That would be a pretty logical speculation.
That would make sense. Has that ever happened with like any of Perillo's guys? Because I know Perillo is like pretty much a one man army, right? So it's like if there are other people in there, like are those his guys, or are those like, you know, the Sean Strickland goes and trains at, you know, wherever else, and then also brings people in and.
Well, do you know? To be honest, the thing is with Ruka, as you know, you've been there. It's not Jason trains some guys there. They'll go there, they train, but it's not a team as such. And there's not team training. And often guys will go into Rook and they'll bring their own coaches. And actually, to be honest, my own experiences can speak to this because I would train with Jason and I made the Rook gym my predominant, my most used facility because it's a great facility. But I go to other places as well, you know. So, you know, I'd have a kickboxing coach. I'd have a wrestling coach. I'd have Jason that handled the striking, the boxing side of things and the game planning and the day-to-day and the sparring and all the rest of it, and a strength and conditioning coach. And it all comes down to the guy in charge. And the guy in charge is the fighter, you know, not the manager. You know, sometimes the manager he facilitates all the business, but it's up to the guy in the ring. You know, the guy, what is that, the man in the ring, that famous quote? Have you heard that? The man in the ring? Just Google that. The man in the ring. They use it sometimes on the UFC. I think it was an American president that said it. Theodore Roosevelt, maybe?
Oh, the man in the arena?
Yes. By who?
Okay. Yeah, that's what it is here.
Who's it by?
It is, it is Teddy Roosevelt said it.
I mean, look at that. Look at that. The knowledge I have of your fucking vast culture is mind-blowing. Yeah, the man in the arena, but that's who it comes down to. Who do you want in your corner? You know what I mean? And you've got to be man enough. Because the problem is, a lot of the time, egos come into play and feelings come into play. And you know, and then that a sense of loyalty to somebody that you've been with for a while, you're like, I've got to. Do you know what I mean? This is, but the fighter needs to be strong enough to identify who he wants. Because sometimes you have people in there that realistic, you have three people that can be could be done by one person. They're all saying the same thing. You don't want a bunch of people all speaking over one another. You know what I mean? So I used to have Perillo as my main cornerman, if you will. If it hit the ground, Brady Fink would take over, because obviously that's not Jason's world. But we'd have this conversation beforehand. Hey, Brady, for the most part, you know, of course, when you're trying to encourage and come on, Mike, you know, you can't help that. You're not going to be penalized or told off or pulled into your office afterwards. And Mike, listen, Brady, I told you, you know, unless I hit the floor, you're allowed to speak. But you spoke when I was on my feet. No, that shit's okay. But generally, the corner on the feet would come from Perillo. If it hits the ground, it would be Brady. Or if you're in a wrestling transition, the wrestling coach. And then if you got a fourth and you're getting into those later rounds and you're getting tired, the strength and conditioning coach comes in. I'm joking. He doesn't.
He's just yelling, condition, condition, he's condition.
Like, breathe, Michael. Breathe. Think of the long distance runs that you did. Yeah, no, that doesn't work at all. Anyway, all right, that's that. We're done.
Okay.
Christmas at Harrington.
What's
Brian,
up?
Brian, come on screen. I hope you feel better, mate.
Thank you.
Really do. All jokes aside, you know, yeah. It sounds like, it looks like you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, look, I'm not going to be that guy, man. I think I'm going to be okay.
I was saying this to him before we started the show. He was like describing his symptoms and I was like, so you mean my everyday state of being? He was like, I got a little headache. I'm a little nauseous. I don't know. Shit's kind of weird. I'm like, yeah, that's just how I live. Like,
same every day. I have a little bit of a headache. I take far too much ibuprofen. I'm a little bit nauseous because then I'll drink too much coffee in the morning and I'm trying to fast. Do you know what I mean? Then I don't eat till 2 o'clock in the morning, but I've had five coffees. I'm like, oh, I don't feel well. You know, I feel like I've got to take a shit. Yeah, you've had five coffees on an empty stomach. That'll do it. But we hope you feel better. Brian,
same.
We appreciate you as well. Really thanks, do, mate. Same. You do a fantastic job. Have a great Christmas with your family, with your mother, your brother, and whoever else. And to you guys, one and all you believers out there all over the world, thank you for the support. Truly appreciate it. Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a wonderful day. And we'll be back next week with another show. Take care.